Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Council has approved a motion to review how outdoor rinks are operated across the city, citing growing challenges tied to weather, water access, and limited resources. The motion brought forward by Councillor Ryan Boehm notes that while the city operates a network of outdoor rinks, service levels and operational requirements vary widely, and increasingly unpredictable winter conditions have made consistent operation more difficult. The motion directs city staff to undertake a full service level review of the outdoor rink program, including public engagement. That review will examine rink locations, potential consolidation opportunities, different service models, and operational changes aimed at making better use of existing resources.
There's lots of information that we need to get on this. I know in the past there's been some frustrations when the expectations set in the community and boards go up and there's zero skatable days. So this is more to look at what's the programming that we have, where can it get better? Where should we really put our resources?
Councillors Gregory Ridge and Don Amos voiced their support for the review.
I've heard similar concerns from my constituents and potential frustrations around having this winter season and the rinks not being available in time. I'm also understanding that there are technical challenges around that happening. But yes, fully in support of this to see what good developments can come out of it.
I was a kid growing up in the city that had the pleasure of playing on Skeleton Park outdoor rink, really learning how to skate. And so I have very fond memories of that. And so for our city staff to do a system review and really work through this, I think that's a good thing. And it means that if we can deliver something that is solid for our kids and solid for young adults and adults to enjoy hockey or skating, I think we're heading in the right direction.
City staff have been directed to report back to council by the third quarter of 2026, with options to make things smoother on and off the ice. Following widespread complaints from residents across Kingston, City Council unanimously approved a motion calling on Circular Materials Ontario and its recycling contractor in Kingston, Mterra Environmental, to take immediate action. The motion urges the companies to improve the reliability of curbside recycling collection and ensure clearer, more responsive communication with residents. In June 2021, the province of Ontario introduced the Blue Box Regulation, shifting the financial and operational responsibility for recycling away from municipalities and onto the producers of packaging and paper products. As part of that transition, responsibility for Kingston's recycling program officially changed hands on July 1st, 2025. Administration of the program moved to Circular Materials Ontario, a not-for-profit organization, which in turn contracted Mterra Environmental to handle curbside recycling collection in the city. Since the changeover, many Kingston residents report missed pickups and delayed or insufficient responses from Mterra. Those frustrations have increasingly landed at City Hall, with councillors around the horseshoe saying they've heard repeatedly from constituents experiencing service problems and experienced some of their own.
I think we've all been hearing from the same kinds of stories. Blue boxes have been left out at the curb, pickups have been missed, people are not sure who to call. They call, they're not getting clear answers, and eventually they call us because to them, this feels like a city service. And honestly, you can't blame them. The residents didn't vote for this change. They didn't redesign the system. They're just trying to recycle like they always have. The tricky part is we don't run the system anymore. We don't control the contracts. CARC has closed down and there's nowhere to take your recycling. We are still the ones people turn to when our neighborhood isn't working.
I've gotten also a lot of complaints not necessarily complaints, but it was a lot of people noticing that the service level wasn't the same. And just a side note, I was actually relying on how unreliable that they were, that I would always put my recycling late.
In response, Councillor Brandon Tozzo brought forward a motion urging CMO and Mterra to take concrete steps to improve service delivery.
This motion does three practical things. It asks Circular Materials and Mterra to improve reliability for recycling collection here in Kingston, and please do a better job of communicating with residents. If this new model is going to work, it has to work on actual collection day, on actual households, on actual streets, including in winter. Second, it asks our staff to help clear up the confusion by sharing straightforward information with the public about this new system and how it works and who to contact when there's a problem. People shouldn't have to sort through websites like their recycling just to report a missed pickup. And third, it sends a message along to CMO's leadership and our local MPPs because this system flows from the provincial decisions. They need to hear formally from us of how it's playing out on the ground with communities like Kingston. This is not about picking a fight or trying to turn back the clock. The new system is here. This is about standing up for our residents and saying, if you're going to change our recycling system, just make sure it works. And if something goes wrong, the answer shouldn't be hard to find. People are doing their part every week. I don't think it's too much to ask that MTERRA and Circular Materials do their part too.
CMO CEO Alan Langdon was at council to answer questions about the ongoing issues. When asked how CMO plans to address the complaints, Langdon committed to sending a direct mailer to Kingston residents outlining how to report service issues. He said the standard process is for residents to contact MTERRA directly when recycling is missed and to escalate concerns to CMO if necessary. Councillors also questioned why MTERRA was not present to answer directly for the service delays. Langdon said the company is currently managing a program launch elsewhere in the province, but committed to returning to council alongside MTERRA representatives at a future date.
We may not have direct control, but we have a voice, and I think we should use it. It's worth noting it took a motion of council to get Circular Materials to talk to council and get their attention that there's a problem. And this was without MTERRA present. That says something. We had a promise from Circular Materials that they would come back with MTERRA. I'm going to hold them to that, or they're going to get another motion from me.
For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. You are listening to CFRC's Campus Beat, your Queen's Campus News, here on CFRC 101.9 FM or online at cfrc.ca. I'm Henry Walker. Our first story. Queen's University has begun distribution of a new tap-enabled student card to all students on campus. Over the winter term, approximately 14,000 undergraduate and graduate students will receive the updated secure cards, replacing the older sticker card system. According to the Queen's Journal, first-year students were the first to receive the new cards in the fall 2025 term, and university administrators have started rolling out and notifying affected students by email about their card transaction schedules for 2026. The rollout aims to standardize secure access and payment functions across campus services, including libraries, residence access, point-of-sale systems, Kingston public transport systems, and many others. Pay attention to your student email box for information regarding your new card. Our second story, Queen's Relay for Life is marking its 20th anniversary this year with a renewed fundraising campaign for the Canadian Cancer Society. Published on February 10th, organizers reported that participating teams have already raised more than $65,000, with an overall goal of raising $170,000. The flagship event, a 12-hour walkathon, is scheduled for March 20th, 2026, from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. at the Queen's Athletic and Recreation Center, The Arc. In addition to continuous laps, the fundraiser features food from local sponsors, entertainment, and survivor speakers. Over its two decades, the event has raised more than $1.5 million for cancer research and support programs. In recent sports news, on Saturday, February 7th, the Queen's Gales men's hockey team defeated the Royal Military College Paladins 4-3 in overtime at Slush Puppy Place to claim the 38th annual Carr-Harris Cup. Senior forward Derek Hamilton, Artside 27, scored the decisive goal to clinch the victory for Queens and keep the Gales' playoff hopes alive in the OUA East Division. The Carr-Harris Cup commemorates the 140-year rivalry between the two Kingston institutions, the oldest hockey rivalry in the world, with roots dating back to the first contest in 1886. In upcoming Kingston news, the Kingston Canadian Film Festival, KCFF 26, is set to begin February 25th and run through till March 1st, bringing more than 100 films, including 34 Canadian features, to venues across Kingston. Beyond screenings, the festival's Creative Industries Day on February 27th will offer free professional networking and panel sessions hosted at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts and the Tet Center for Creativity and Learning. students and emerging film professionals will have opportunities to engage with creators and industry leaders from organizations including TIFF, Telefilm Canada, and CBC. Scheduled events include a live pitch competition for original concepts and an exclusive location showcase highlighting Kingston's filmmaking sites such as the historic Kingston Penitentiary. Queen's University is facing growing internal debate following the publication of leaked internal consultation documents outlining a proposed long-term restructuring of the institution. Reported by the Queen's Journal in early February 2026, the documents, produced by external consultants, suggest a significant expansion of online and graduate education, alongside major changes to the structure of undergraduate programs at Queen's University. According to the report, the proposal envisions increasing Queen's total enrollment to 40,000 students by 2040, including roughly 10,000 online learners, potentially housed within a new school of professional and continuing education. Undergraduate students and programs would be reorganized into a broader academic stream, promoting concerns from students and faculty about reduced emphasis on in-person learning and limited consultation during the planning process. The Queen's Journal also reports that the university administrators have not yet commented to the implementing of the plan, but discussions are expected to continue in the coming months. I've been Henry with your Queen's Campus Beat here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, February 18th, winter weather in the forecast, daytime high of 1, but with the wind chill going to feel closer to minus 8, and 5 to 10 centimeters of snow in the forecast, so keep your eyes peeled to the Tri-Board website. Thursday, February 19th, daytime high of 0, real feel of minus 3. Friday, February 20th, more snow in the forecast, daytime high of minus 5, and a bone-chilling feel of minus 16. Saturday, February 21st, daytime high of minus 2, feeling like minus 6. Sunday, February 22nd, daytime high of minus 4, feeling like minus 10. And then kicking off next week, Friday, February 23rd, daytime high of minus 5. But with the wind chill, it's going to feel closer to minus 9. This is your City of Kingston traffic report. Just a reminder, overnight parking restrictions are in effect for the rest of February. Come March 1st, the overnight restrictions will loosen to where overnight parking is only banned when weather conditions require it, i.e. if there is snow or freezing rain in the forecast. Until March 1st, all overnight street parking is banned in the City of Kingston.
Okay. Now stay with me. Would you separate your work memories from your personal memories so that when you are at work, you only remember work and nothing about your personal life, but when you're home, you remember your personal memories but nothing about your work? This question is inspired by a TV show I'm currently watching called Severance. If you haven't seen it yet and you enjoy a good mind-bending series, I would highly recommend. Anywho, to answer the question, I would not separate my memories because I absolutely love my job. What's up, everyone? Happy Family Day. It's Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up on this segment, I've got K-Town's hottest concert and event calendars for the week, starting with events. Looking to meet new friends or colleagues? On Wednesday, February 18th, swing by Speed Friending. That seems really interesting. At McIntosh Quarry Hall at 12 o'clock p.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. Light inclusive conversation prompts will be provided to help break the ice. Board games at Something in the Water Brewing Company at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. If you haven't tried Monopoly Go yet, the card version, I would recommend. Once you get the rules, it definitely gets heated, so play at your own discretion. Head to karaoke at Timeout Bar and Bistro at 6 o'clock p.m., but if you're looking for a later option, karaoke at the Mansion at 9 o'clock p.m. On Thursday, February 19th, the Athletics and Recreation Center is hosting Pilates in Studio 4 at 12 o'clock p.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. This class is great for improving posture, flexibility, balance, and strength. The class is a mix of beginner and intermediate exercises, but don't worry, options will be given for all levels. That said, no experience necessary. Looking for gluten-free friendly restaurant options? T Terre and Tradition, Diane and Dida's Gastropub at Diane's present the culinary roots of Kingston and Northern Ontario at 6:30 p.m. Thursday also means the weekly urban music social at The Loft at La Vida Bistro Bar and Social at 9:30 p.m. Did you know that Côte d'Oc played a vital role in the war effort? Join Ron Beaupré for the story of the Côte d'Oc from the Great Lakes to D-Day at the Great Lakes Museum at 7 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Tickets include light refreshments. Now for my favorite time of the week, Friday, February 20th, cheer on the Kingston Frontenacs as they face the North Bay Battalion at Slush Puppy Place at 7.05 p.m. Warm up your vocal cords for Friday night karaoke at The Buckle at 9 o'clock p.m. Fiercely OK will also be welcoming all ages song circles at 99 York Street at 10:30 a.m. to 11:45 a.m. No singing experience required. On Saturday, February 21st, downtown K-Town celebrates the Lunar New Year with festive decor, kid-friendly activities, delicious bites, and special offers at your fave shops and restaurants. Celebrate the Year of the Horse at downtown K-Town at 10 a.m., free for all to enjoy. The Fronts are hosting a Fight Cancer and Special Jersey Night against the Niagara Ice Dogs. Catch them at the Slush Puppy Place at 4:05 p.m. And last, but certainly not the least, enjoy a relaxing Sunday, February 22nd at the Memorial Centre Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Centre grounds at 9 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. for fresh foods and to show your support to local vendors. Or, I guess this is not so relaxing, or maybe it is. Slashing into medical horror, the series dives into a different era and anxiety around medicine identity and the body. Check it out at the screening room at 4 o'clock p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Next up, our concerts calendar. On Wednesday, February 18th, pop into Wings and Tunes with Sean McCullough, an open mic with master guitar player, singer, lyricist, showman, and songwriter. This guy has it all at the Coven at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Maybe while you're there, try a new flavor of wings. Christopher Jackson will be performing at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. and catch DJ Great White with anything from 60s, 70s, 80s, soft rock, soul, R&B, and new wave pop. If that's your vibe, join him at Hotel Wolf Island at 4 o'clock p.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. Also, don't miss Quentin Cofftree at the Bank Gastro Bar at 5:30 p.m. until 7:30. On Thursday, February 19th, kicking things off at 6 o'clock, catch Melwood Cutlery for Original Thursdays at the Cove Inn and Donnie Cooper live at the Creekside Bar and Grill, both starting at 6 p.m. April Wine will also be in town. April Wine is a Canadian rock band that was the very first Canadian band on MTV. They have released over 20 albums and have received a combined total of 11 Juno Award nominations in Group of the Year, Album of the Year, and Best Selling Single categories. Catch them live at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. If you're feeling adventurous, don't miss Admit 2 at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church at 7:30 p.m. And if you're looking for a late night bite with some entertainment, the Get-Alongs, Out by Lucy, and Mellow Casualty light up the toucan starting at 9:30 p.m., going strong until 1 a.m. On Friday, February 20th, starting your weekend off early and right. At 4 o'clock, it's Happy Hour TGIF with Neil Carter at the club at the RCHA running until 6 p.m. At 5 p.m., catch Vicky Brittle, a folk singer-songwriter from the Ottawa Valley, live at the Cove Inn playing until 8. At 7:30 is a big one, Comfortably Numb. Canada's Pink Floyd show hits the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium, backed by huge demand after selling out the Kingston Grey Theatre 9 times already. A Journey into the Mind of Pink Floyd celebrates the music of Syd Barrett, Roger Waters, David Gilmour, Rick Wright, and Nick Mason, spanning 1967 to 1983, from Piper at the Gates of Dawn to The Wall and beyond. Also at 7:30, if you're feeling some rock, we've got the Flatliners live at the Broom Factory playing until 10 p.m. As the night finishes up, we've got the Trevor Walsh Band starts at 9 p.m. at the Time Out Bar and Bistro. And for you night owls, we're heading back to the Toucan with It's Monic, Nothing Serious, 40 to Famous, and Among Legends going strong from 10:30 p.m. until 2 a.m. On Saturday, February 21st, let's get things started at 2 o'clock p.m. The Wayne Riley Band plays at Spearhead Brewery until 5. 7:30 p.m. is a busy time across the city. At the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium, experience Black Umfolosi International, one of Africa's greatest vocal groups, blending powerful a cappella singing with traditional dance, costume, and their iconic gumboot dancing, celebrating over 42 years of music across 5 continents. Also at 7:30, it's the Almost Home Benefit Concert at the Spire, supporting families going through medical hardships. Headlined by the Western Swing Authority with special guest Savannah Shea, this award-winning group brings their signature mix of Western Swing, jazz, country, and big band energy for an unforgettable night. Doors at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m., the night keeps rolling with Sittin' Ducks at the club at RCHA and Led Zeppelin, featuring Joan Smith and the Jane Does, rocking the Cove Inn, both playing until 11 p.m. Closing out the night at 10:30 p.m., we send it over to the Toucan with its Jelly Train going strong until 2 a.m. Start Sunday, February 22nd, bright and early, at 10 a.m., Sunday Fun Day at the Great Lakes Museum running until 1 p.m. At 1 o'clock, join Kingston Pop Choir at the Tet Center, a welcoming one-day choir led this month by Savannah Shea, learning her arrangement of Stay by Rihanna. No experience needed, pay what you can, and it runs till 4 p.m. At 2:30, Orchestra Kingston presents Magic Dances at the Spire. This concert celebrates dance music with popular pieces like Liszt's Les Préludes, plus Brahms' Academic Festival Overture. Moving into the late afternoon at 4 o'clock, enjoy smooth Sundays with Ricky and the Jay at Miziki Cafe and Whiskey Bar. And the Lady and the Tramps at the Timeout Bar and Bistro, both wrapping up at 6 o'clock p.m. Closing out your Sunday lineup at 10 p.m., Scott Owen hits the stage at the Brass Pub. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. No matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca or lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from me to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, and I'll catch you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.